of love and respect we offer to all, in time, past, and present, throughout open doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Sala. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. To God, the noble truth of suffering. To God, Samadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. To God, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. To God, Nirodha, Yamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that fruits of this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraints and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi, tatyampi, saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are.
Hear sin and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Reminder that the Sunday morning groups are recorded, and if you'd like to grab a pen cap, that would be a good time.
Maybe just a reminder that nothing that needs can touch the strand or fall.
Good reminder. They're very delicate. Sunday morning groups are a chance for you to look at anything you'd like to look at in terms of practice. So, what shall we look at? Ashley?
So, I had a big practice opportunity.
A big practice opportunity.
And so I had an interaction with someone I'm very close to in my family, who was very concerned about my well-being, and whose approach to expressing that is not exactly the way I would choose. And since I was kind of feeling a little low, I've worked on this 6 years, and so
this kind of interaction with
the family. Practice along with it, and I know that this person is coming from a deep sense of love for me.
Because you've been practicing for this for 6 years, you've seen what's underneath the approach that maybe isn't so we wouldn't choose. But underneath that is the deep love.
Yeah. So when the energy comes at me, I'm able to act in this place of I don't need to go to my ego sense of I'm being patronized, or it's not a judgment of my competence or my intelligence or any of those things. It's to clean up.
Yeah, so you don't need to go to a defensive place.
I don't have to go to a defensive place, but I did. You went of all these years with not available in that instant.
But it's a big practice opportunity.
And I like to take the person out. Which they didn't appreciate either. And so I've just been watching something dropped in during meditation about conscious, compassionate awareness. Mm-hmm. And just that term, what a brilliant term it is.
Uh-huh.
Conscious, compassionate awareness. And the quality that of that that dropped in was how passive it is.
Hmm.
Not passive in an inert sense, but passive in a receptive sense.
Hmm.
And that what I have been working with this person specifically, but all the time, is how can I listen? Because when I listen, when I'm receiving, there's such a lot of capacity for I not being there.
Uh-huh. So the conscious, compassionate awareness, that passive in the receptive kind of place, and it sounds like the concrete thing you're talking about is listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
That if I could listen and I could just let that person have their experience, mm-hmm. then it wouldn't be about me.
Uh-huh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that the quality of conscious, compassionate awareness, it's not that it doesn't participate, but the quality of its participation is so receptive. It's like it's not aggressive. It's not pushy. It's willing just to be.
Yeah. It's not willing and pushy like ego can be.
Yes.
Which
is a position to be defended.
Yes. And it is participating in a receptive way.
Yeah.
Which reception often doesn't get credit for that.
That's right.
That is a very important part of participation in my business.
Yeah, it is. And that's the, it seems to be the lesson of the encounter in two senses. One, when one is not read, or there's compromise in some, a recognition that one is compromised, one needs to double up the attention.
So when there's kind of that low energy, or we're feeling tired, hungry, or sick, or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the cue to double up the attention.
And not to have encounters with difficulties. Having enough awareness. In fact, even before I picked up the phone, I was aware that what I didn't want to say is, I'm not feeling well. Because I know what's going to come. It's like a red flag to the bull.
You're not feeling well.
Let me tell you how to take care of yourself and all the things that you're doing that are not whatever. And so just very grateful for A, to have had the encounter, B, for life having given me that lesson.
Yes.
And to bring it back into awareness.
Yes.
Right, that we tend to forget
in
those places of vulnerability what actually takes care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course conditioning always says, well, if you are in a trusting relationship with someone, you need to be able to trust them with everything. And over years I've realized that sometimes when you don't say what is so for you with some people, it's quite all right.
I think that's better.
It doesn't mean that you love them any less or intimacy has been compromised in any way. It just means that it takes you out of the conditioned karmic pattern that doesn't need to be indulged.
Yes. That we can kind of, as you said, see it coming a bit.
Yes.
Here comes the karmic pattern.
Yes. And I'm not destroying our relationship.
Right.
What I'm choosing is not to be in relationship with conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're choosing conscious, compassionate awareness.
That's right.
Which is best for all.
That's right. And that receptivity, that passiveness, that intelligence to know which encounters to avoid. And then to learn from them.
Yes.
This is a fabulous experience.
It is a fabulous experience. I mean, just what awareness practice offers us, as you said, you know, that you're actually grateful, you know, for the encounter.
Yes.
You know, that you're grateful for the lesson that life taught you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the value of the conscious, compassionate awareness in its receptive form.
Yeah, I just love life's cosmic sense of humor. It's delight in it after being completely destroyed by something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just delightful.
Yeah, that is an amazing movement, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be destroyed by something and then the same, looking at the same event, and you're just throwing in the delight of it all.
Yeah. And grateful.
And grateful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jen?
several things. I was looking at that as that conversation was happening. One, and just in that last little bit, what dropped in for me was there's a particular part of my body that I've become aware is not as strong as I want it to be. In terms of just going around in my life, I want to be able to do the things that are called of me in a way that takes care of my body, and I don't need to avoid doing them and all those things.
So as you go about your day, mm-hmm. there are activities that call forth mm-hmm. you know, things from the body, and there's a particular part of the body that you'd like to be maybe a little bit stronger mm-hmm. to be ready for those things you're called to do.
Mm-hmm. So as I'm doing that, you know, kind of working with strength training, I'm reminded of how what that process is that the muscle breaks down to get stronger.
Uh-huh.
And I just had that image of, so we encounter things that are difficult for
yeah,
us,
yeah.
and the condition assessment if it didn't go well, but actually if we stay in that conscious compassion and awareness, there's a way in which that muscle is, that's the process of that yeah. muscle building.
Boy, that's so good to see. Mm-hmm. You're right, because like if we're lifting weights or something like that, that's not actually when we're getting stronger.
Right.
That's the breaking down of the muscle,
yeah.
and then it's afterwards when the muscle yeah. is getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
And so we go through these things that feel like, oh, I'm going to master this, or a breaking down of something inside.
I should have done better with that.
I should have done better. I should have done something different.
They should have done something different.
Yeah, but if we just stay with it, as you said, we can see that we're actually building a strength.
Yeah. Yeah. But in that, as you say that, that in the other thing I've learned about weight training and that kind of thing is that if you don't rest, it won't happen.
Exactly.
If you just keep breaking it down. So, you know, we're in situations that are what challenging, difficult, whatever it is. If we stay and we practice with it mm-hmm. afterwards, then there we are.
Yeah.
We begin to build that strength.
That's a really nice parallel, isn't it?
Yeah.
The muscle only rebuilds during the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go through one of those times, it's the later, and it's the practicing as we were just being spoken
yeah,
of.
Exactly.
We're going to that place of conscious, compassionate awareness,
yeah.
you know, letting life do the work
yeah.
with us, do the transformation.
Yeah.
And our job, it sounds like what you're saying, is just to show up,
yeah.
to come to that restful place, to keep practicing with it.
Yeah. And it relates to something else. We were looking at Holy Leisure yesterday evening because we have some Holy Leisure on the schedule this afternoon.
Yeah.
So I was doing some reporting with a mentor yesterday evening about that and kind of looking at Holy Leisure. And the question was posed, well, how would you like to be? And so I began to answer that. And I said things like joyful. And I said, you know what just dropped in actually is I'd like to be however life is offering for me to be. And that what I was seeing in that was, because one of the things that came up in the discussion last night, which is very much my experience, is sometimes Holy Leisure is joyful. Sometimes not. Sometimes we get tortured with,
yeah.
oh, okay, clean this and do that, or I'm bored, or whatever it is. And so I think what was happening is in that process, what was dropping in was, whatever needs to happen. That's what I want. And then I realized, it's funny, I said to the mentor, wait a minute, you asked me how I want to be, didn't you? Not how do you want to feel. Because I answered the question with how do I want to feel?
Yeah.
And then I realized, actually, we don't always have a lot of influence over that,
yeah.
but we have a whole lot of choice about how I want to be.
Yes.
And how I want to be is open and accepting. And just to be in that, as was referred to, that conscious compassion mm-hmm. awareness with whatever is. Because
mm-hmm.
That's the place.
That's
the magic place. That's the freedom place where I don't have to try to make sure I have a certain experience or that my life goes in a particular way, but to learn that, wow, I really can choose how I want to be with all of it.
Yeah. Well, it's so fun. So the magic place is being with whatever life is will have for Jen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just love that whole process mm-hmm. that you started out with, which was, okay, we're looking at Holy Leisure, you know, we have mm-hmm. some time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you got on the recorder with the mentor,
mm-hmm.
and that just opened up this whole doorway of like, well, how do you want to be,
yeah.
you know, and then you got to that place, well, I just want to be with whatever life will have you. Do what you know, be with.
Yeah, because you know, as you say, that place where we are so conditioned to look to someone else, to each other, mm-hmm. to take care of me.
Yeah.
You know, to whatever. I should like that place. I should be able to tell you everything about me, and you should. But actually, what we're doing is we're learning to look to life mm-hmm. for that place.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what that reporting and listening with the mentor process does.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking to life to provide us with the support and the unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking to life to provide the support and unconditional love is exactly what you're doing by getting on the recorder.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like the response that came up was, well, let's continue with that.
Yeah.
Let's continue to look to life
yeah.
for that love and unconditional support. And
yeah.
whatever, if you're willing for whatever it is, will come about this afternoon.
Yeah, it was funny because it was such a great, you know, often when someone's being facilitated and they're just seeing this thing, the facilitator's just simply reflecting, and then at the end the person goes, thank you so much. And you're just so good at this time, right? And there was that sense on the recorder with the, just thank you, mentor, so much. And the mentor just kind of smiling like, hey, anytime.
Exactly. And
just standing here while you see whatever you see.
So my question is, the pattern of my life is the last few years has been that the Sherry Huber program, that's the most important thing in my life because, you know, that's the path I have because Lyme disease wiped out my career. And so this is my thing now, and this is all that matters, and this is, you know, my only hope. And this is the only thing that can save me or save my life from utter meaninglessness. And I always tell myself that, well, you know, all that matters is this program, the Zen Awareness Program, the Sherry Huber Program, all that matters is ending suffering. And I tell myself that to keep despair at bay.
So despair is kind of trying to come in and create a story of suffering. And what you're doing is bringing your attention back to the most important thing is awareness practice, is the Sherry Huber program. And that's what you keep doing over and over.
Yeah, I keep telling myself, this is my career now. Because I'm...
It's kind of my job in life.
To fight the voices of despair uh-huh. or the belief in despair. Or
And so is that what you've been practicing this week? Is that what you're kind of seeing?
No, this has been going on since for the last few years since I found this program. Because I felt like, because I need some kind of bulwark against the forces of despair since I don't have the career and all that whole story about what that means. If you don't have the career, then your life's a train wreck. So
I see. So the voices really want to kind of go on about, well, you should have a career, or the career is kind of what, you used to do, or whatever. And what you're saying is, well, kind of like my career now, or what I'm really focused on, is ending suffering, is awareness practice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's supporting you as the voices of despair kind of try to come up and grab your attention.
And I don't know if it's, the right way to keep practicing with where, what my life is, or if it's like, is this clinging to beliefs, or am I using the Sherry Huber program, this is what, this is my hope, and now this is what, going to make my life okay, and then that sounds like, clinging on to something, I don't know, I don't know, but that's...
So there's kind of, is this, what I'm hearing is that there's kind of a message about your life isn't okay.
Definitely.
And that there's something kind of maybe clinging to, but it is okay because I'm doing the Sherry Huber program.
Absolutely. And I'm in suffering.
Okay. And so that means that things are actually okay.
My life has meaning.
And life has meaning. Kind of like a like a justification or something like that.
Yeah. Like I see here, my life is okay. You see this thing here, my life isn't a total loss.
And as you're saying it, is the justification kind of almost like an argument with the voices? They're saying you should have a job. You're in total despair. No, I have the Sherry Huber program. My life does have meaning.
Yeah, I'm any karma. I'm not just, you know. Yeah, it is.
And have you had an experience of just being with the Shared Universe program and practicing, not in response to the conversation?
Yeah.
And what's that like?
You know, it could be deep and profound. It could be transformative, or
it could be deep and profound.
Transcending suffering, or nibbling away at suffering, or
nibbling away at suffering, corroding the ego. Yeah. So is it possible just to stay in that place of transformation? I think you were talking about love previously.
Mm-hmm.
And not be listening, not having that conversation with the voices?
I don't know. Because given the voices are there and that's what they do, and this is where they can, you know, they have my number, they know where they can go to play me and to get me in.
So they play the number, which is, you know, there's something wrong, your life doesn't have meaning, that kind of thing.
So I go over to my defense.
And you go over to your defense.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. Do you have a suggestion?
Well, what comes up for me, and maybe we can get together, because I don't know, is recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had some experience with recording and listening?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the ways that I've heard Sherry talk about it is that we either don't want to be in a conversation with the voices, or we want to be in a life conversation. So one thing that we can do is be in a life conversation. Actually, I was just being spoken, getting on the recorder with a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to be today? And it could also be some of the things you just said about, you know, what do I love about practice? Why do I practice? You know, where is the meaning in my life? What do I love about life? What am I grateful for? And so there's that, you're saying all that on the recorder,
mm-hmm.
and then you're listening to it. So that that's the conversation, rather than the one you're pointing at earlier.
Mm-hmm. A different conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really concrete, isn't it? And that's another thing I love about recording and listening. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I love? What am I grateful for? What's beautiful? You know, what is transforming in my life? And to have that be the input, rather than, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Instead it'll be, this is what I love.
This is what I'm
grateful for. This is what's transforming in my life right now. Here is how I would like to be with myself. Do you get a sense of it?
I mean, I get a sense of like conditioning thing. You're not supposed to say that.
Yeah,
and the guidance I had had the last few weeks I was lucky enough to have was that all my recording and listening in the past, I mistakenly had strategies that were like reassuring, like, you know, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing right now. And so it's still in the defense of the conversation versus recordings that were like,
of
life.
Yeah. Gratitude. Yeah, good. So you've actually already seen this. That we're not making a recording in defense of the conversation.
Yeah.
We're speaking from right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, it sounds like, I just get a sense and tell you this is true, that you know that place. That you know that place of just, what do I love? What am I grateful for? And it's just that. It's not in defense of.
I mean, it doesn't sound very profound or earth-shattering or monumental to be. So what do I love? How do I want to be? What do I grateful?
Have you tried it?
Not really, no.
That might be more than this. Well, that doesn't sound very profound. You can't just say those things.
Yeah.
But can you imagine someone saying that to you, talking about love and gratitude and beauty, and that's what you're listening to all day? Can you imagine what life would be like?
I can imagine someone saying, what did you do today? I'm going to be recording about love and gratitude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give it a try. What the heck, right?
Yeah. What the heck? Exactly. Perfect. That's a good response to the voices. But you can't do that. That's silly. What the heck? I'm going to do it anyway. And you know, for me, when I hear that stuff, that's silly. That's not going to work. That is the green light to do it. Right? Anything it's saying not to do around things like that, you know, things that we have to support our heart, oh, definitely going to do it. And maybe since we have a couple more days, you could give it a try and let us know.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
That in that conversation, I've seen a few things. First of all, I was recently given guidance to keep it simple, and it's very useful for me. You know, a lot of practice and still kind of keep swerving into that. Okay, so I was recently given some guidance to keep it simple. Which I found extremely helpful. And there is, you know, observing still a tendency to kind of swerve into that conversation with self hate.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and there's a lot of conversation about that happening.
You mean you got Keep It Simple and not everything?
Right. Yeah. Well, no, this is before I got Keep It Simple.
Uh-huh.
So I've been working with this koan for the retreat, and every day it's been developing, you know, a little bit more. And so what I saw yesterday with it was the koan, it's just so wonderful. Right now, the koan is, let's see. It's good to see you, Sequoia. Now I'm going to get... thank you for ending self-hate. You are not... Let's see. it's come very easily, but I'm not in front of a group. there is no separate self. There is only love.
Wow.
What would love do?
Mm-hmm.
And so in repeating that over and over again, and only that, well, first of all, that koan developed, because in repeating a previous koan over and over again, some sentences started to run together.
Uh-huh.
And that is where it started to turn toward thank you for ending self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
because this has been a process.
It's been a whole process.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to have a conversation about, well, how can you say that you've ended self-hate? And what occurred, what was just that in that moment, as I'm repeating that koan,
that's right. Yeah.
I have ended self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that we have at that moment.
Wow.
And so to keep my attention there, to keep saying that over and over again, it's ended.
That is so, oh gosh, I hope we all hear that. So the ending self-hate happens in that moment that you're saying your mantra.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Sequoia.
Yeah.
Thank you for ending self-hate.
Yeah.
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 And can you repeat that last part again?
Uh-huh.
That was really interesting.
It's something like there is no separate self.
There is no separate self.
All there is love.
Uh-huh.
What would love do?
What would love do? Gosh, I wish we can all go there just by, I think that's probably what I'm here to get.
Yeah.
Is we can all just go there. We just went to that place of all there is love.
Yeah.
And in that place, yeah. Self-hate is ended.
Yeah, exactly.
In that moment.
And as soon as all there is love, what would love do? It's just like...
Yeah. I can feel that.
I know. Because, you know, we all know what love would do.
Yes. We all know what love would do. We just need to go to that place.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
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 And in this case, it's simply saying the words,
mm-hmm.
bringing you to
mm-hmm.
that place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it arises, it's clear.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a multiple recordings of, you know, I'm sticking with this one for a while, you know, to just integrate that over and over and over again. And it's got a life of its own. It's just a reaffirming of trust, because it's just evolved without an I setting down to figure out, well, this is what, this is the plan, this is how it's going to work, and I'm going to do this and this and this, but to just keep it simple and then to just show up and see what life offers.
Keeping it simple and showing up to what life offers, and that has really been embodied in this in your call, is that it's just been growing step by step into this, as you said, it's just kind of revealing itself as you go along. And that's kind of exciting, isn't it? It's much more than like the eye kind of trying to make a plan. And I think that experience is so true, isn't it, that when we have that experience of things kind of evolving and that life just kind of has this, you know, it's just doing its own thing, that trust really starts to build. We don't have to leave life to go through another something. We just need to stay here.
And what is that? Repetition is the spirit of.
Yeah, that's important. You're just coming back over and over to that moment, to that point.
We don't have to reinvent something new every 5 minutes, or just, you know, even every day, to just stay steady with.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Thank you.
Ellen, and who's Margaret back there? Okay, we'll go Ellen and Margaret and then Jay.
So, this idea came up the other night of the gift of discomfort, and I've been kind of looking at that because my initial reaction was, discomfort's not something I want.
Second here. Just a second, Ellie, can you all hear back down there?
Okay.
No, you can't.
I can't hear Ellie.
Okay.
So I've been looking at the gift of discomfort. It dropped in the other night, and I'm uncomfortable with the idea of looking at it. So I thought it would be good to bring up.
And you're silent while you're talking about it. There's something about it, isn't it? There's kind of like, well, this is kind of, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with the discomfort. But you want to talk about it.
Because it seems like a paradoxical phrase to say discomfort could be a gift. But I've been getting a lot of different ways to look at discomfort and to practice with it. And I can see, we were talking about the rock tumbler, and you know, when you're tumbling rocks, you put in grit, and then you put in finer and finer grit, and it's the movement of the grit against the rocks that smooths it all out. And so it's like the discomfort is kind of the grit polishing the rocks.
Wow, you just completely expanded that metaphor.
But what I also like about thinking it in that way is that you can always get the finer and finer grit, so I don't get caught in that trap of being done.
So there's this paradoxical thing that, you know, you hear a lot in Zen, like, go after the discomfort. It's like, what? But it sounds like that we had this conversation the other day about the rock tumbler, you know, the way that the rock can be polished as kind of a metaphor for the conditioned human, kind of planing out the edges and smoothing out so that we're kind of living from an authentic place. And seeing that the discomfort is a kind of a parallel to the grit that gets put into the rock tumblers at finer and finer grains, that's actually what polishes the rock.
So I'm getting polished.
You're getting polished. That's a smile, huh? Yeah. Yeah, and so there's a paradoxical, and then you go to your experience, and it's like, oh, I'm being polished.
Yeah. And so my koan right now is, how is compassion here now? Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a koan duet happening. How is compassion here now, and what is the soundtrack of life? Mm-hmm. Because it just seems like sometimes I need one, sometimes I want the other.
Get your little duet. You can have both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
how is compassion
here now?
Here now. And what is the soundtrack of life? Mm-hmm. And they can just kind of come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a duet. I'm just thinking like a musical. They can just kind of come in as you need them, because sometimes you need one question and sometimes you get it.
Yeah. And because that whole muscle breaking down, going to that metaphor of the, I was recording about that in more of a leaning in and then leaning out, like leaning into the discomfort and then giving myself a rest, to you know, just coming back to the moment. There's not always discomfort, but when there is discomfort, to be willing to be with it. And that's when, like, the how is compassion here now, and finding that really useful.
Wow.
And then when I'm taking the rest, it's like, okay, what is the soundtrack of life? Brings me out of my head and to, okay, it's not just silence, there's sound.
Yeah.
So what are the sounds here now? And that helps to really ground me and keep me present.
Those are really great examples of what you're just speaking of. So, you know, what is compassion now can really be supportive when we're leaning into that discomfort. And because we want to be compassionate with the person who's going through the discomfort. And then there's kind of the leaning in. And then part of the rhythm, it sounds like, is to kind of step back. And then when you step back, here comes the question of, what's the soundtrack of life? And that's grounding, because it sounds like there's kind of a tuning in, kind of an expanded awareness. Okay, there's silence, but there's, you know, here, you can hear all kinds of things. Yeah. And that's really grounding as well. William.
Getting a lot of sound?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Margaret.
So, this has been a really helpful conversation this morning about what I'm looking at around my koan evolving, coming up with it. And it feels like I have a really big koan, which is like the whole guest house koan by Rumi. It's really like the essence of my koan. Because there's such a, like in the beginning of looking at it, there was such an awareness of, this is really uncomfortable, in inviting in everything in, every, you know, welcoming and inviting everything in.
Because that, the poem you're referencing, The Guest House by Rumi, that is kind of the essence.
Yeah.
Of inviting everything, all the discomforts, all the fears, inviting them in.
Yeah.
And that's, essence is showing up in your poem.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, I think when I first encountered it, it was knowing that that's really it. That's really what I want, my heart wants, authenticity wants that. So authenticity is already there. But
you're tuning into that.
I'm tuning in.
That heart's desire.
Right. Yeah, and so I got some really helpful clarity and guidance about how I see, or I'm aware that there's a place of bring it on now. You know, I'm ready for this. But that's not the complete koan in a way. It's sort of like, it is bring it on, it's welcome. You know, I'm ready, and what's the gift in this for me? What's the gift I need, you know?
I'm ready, and what's the gift for me?
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. And it's like that. There's kind of these different facets that have been spoken of that kind of make their words, right? And you're capturing something that, as you said, there's something that you're ready for. There's the authenticity is there, present.
Yeah. And I love what has also been shared about, you know, thank you for ending suffering in your life. Sort of like the awareness that this is the direction and sort of the background to that. For the purpose, the intention.
The purpose, the intention, the clarity that that's what we're doing. Is that where?
Yeah, ending suffering and ending suffering.
And ending suffering.
Because ultimately, when I don't welcome whatever it is that shows up, there is this process of there's something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
Go right into, need to go right into self-hate or kind of the permutation.
So if there's any kind of, if we're not welcoming, if there's some kind of resistance or trying to move away from,
yeah,
or even maybe grab onto, then we're in that process of suffering.
Yeah, and it's the welcoming, it's just, I want to see what life is for me to me. I want to see it and there's this awareness that whatever I'm going to see about it is a gift.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, even if it, even if conditioning is going on about, no, not that, not that, you know. So actually one of the things I came up with during the practice morning was realizing there was a sinking sensation involved, physical sensation of, oh, not this, you know, oh, no. And so I saw, not I, but it's not like I've been saying, oh, yes, to the, oh, no. And that has shifted a lot, just because it's like, it is like, you know, what we practice is what we have. It's like an immediate, oh, right, that's my gift.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And it sounds like those are two different things then. There's something saying, oh no. And then what they're arguing is, oh yes. And that you know there's a gift for you. I'm projecting because you have that experience.
Yeah.
Maybe
the whole poem seems like a gift. And I guess everything that flowed from it comes from it.
Hmm. The whole thing, that everything that comes from it is a gift. Wow. That's a really fun place to be practicing, isn't it?
It is a fun place to be practicing.
Gosh. Just welcoming can sound like a trust. Kind of a fearlessness.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly experienced that, the fearlessness of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not, it's here. It's here in the heart.
Yeah.
Fearlessness. And the improv feels really good. Like it's really, really what it is.
It's hard to just not say that word and laugh or move a little bit.
It is. It does make it a lot more fun because I'm ready for that.
Yes. Yeah, all of this is we could say, is sure because you're ready for it. And that's why that word like improv resonates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, improv. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay.
It's kind of simple, but I just feel a lot of gratitude. And
you can say that over and over.
Okay. I just want to say that last bit. And specifically, I had a very interesting experience. We've been doing the Sunday virtual meditation.
Oh, okay.
And usually a lady does the recitation, and I drink my coffee while I wait to be over because it's very long. And I find that I really like the line about if I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something or maybe suffering. And that was about it. And I just sat there this morning and every word is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Every single word should be there. Mm-hmm. And I felt this flow of love down through generations.
Wow.
And it was exquisite.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Wow. Yeah. Can I reflect a little bit here? Thanks. That's right. You've been doing a virtual meditation, which is a great opportunity if anyone doesn't know about that on the website. And there's the beginning of the virtual meditation, there's the daily conversation or meditation. And usually you have your coffee with that, kind of waiting for the sitting part. and maybe one line would kind of just jump out about ending suffering. And then today, you had a different experience. Today, it sounds like you were with the writing, and that every word seemed like it should be there. There was an exquisiteness to it.
It was like a gift.
Yeah. And simply because it sounds like you just brought presence to it. That's all that was.
That's all that was just perfectly present. Yeah. Every single word.
Yeah.
One point of focus.
And there was another really nice place in there too about that sense of it being passed down through generations.
Yes. Yeah, the gratitude
for that. Yeah. Gosh, I bet you a lot of us think I do a lot of it. Not being really.